why should we worry about corruption or the central government? That's really not our concern. Our concern should have been, and was my perspective, because my primary focus was anti-terrorism. You know, of those three elements of the mission, my mission was the latter, the anti-terrorism mission, which included the targeting of high-value targets. And with that said, so we put together this operation. This was a collaborative effort, including all the different alphabet soup agencies, except for CIA, and I'll explain why we let CIA out here in a second. But essentially, we put this concept of operations together. We go in and brief the commanding general, then Lieutenant General Vines, commander of 18th Airborne Corps, and he actually loves it. We were just going to kind of feel him out. Next thing I know, he approves it, and he says, move out. This is good. And so we started moving forward to create the conditions to enhance intelligence information. And you and I both know that one of the key factors is intelligence information. You've got to have good intel to get in and do the right thing. And as we start moving forward, we start developing better intel, better insight, and things are starting to look really good by the fact that I think we're going to move forward here and buy more time. If nothing else, we're going to buy the Afghan people more time. And as we were planning this and going through it, learning some good things, things in Afghanistan started to change a little bit. And as we proceeded, the politics started to change, in Afghanistan. One of the things that happened – oh, let me take a step back real quick. One of the reasons we did Darkheart without CIA is because we recognized in the September of 2003 that the ISI, the Pakistani Intelligence Service, the ISI, was not on our side completely, and we established factual evidence of that. Believe it or not, that most of that made it through the edits in the book, so the reader can still see exactly what the evidence was, how we learned that. And when we briefed General Vines, we said, look, we're going to do this without CIA because we have concerns about them playing both sides of the fence as well. We didn't believe that they could necessarily keep a secret, so to speak. So
and
we were going to do
probably
this.
Can't.
And Camp Chapman was a bad news story for him earlier, this year, I believe. And it was, we knew that they were very closely linked to the ISI based on what you brought up earlier regarding the fact that we helped the Mujahideen. A lot of that help came through CIA, through Pakistan. So we had real concerns, and we decided we're going to do this ourselves. And the general approved it. It's like, go ahead. So we started moving out to do this. And then politics kicked in. General Vines, God bless him, developed a health problem and had to be evacuated. And he was replaced by Lieutenant General David Barno, who then became the first combined forces commander, which is significant. He's the first general who commanded both the NATO ISAF forces as well as the U.S. forces, which were kind of operating independently until this point in time. My job there was the operations officer overseeing all the defense intelligence agencies' operations on the ground, the entire country. And so I'm asked to go in and give him a briefing on Operation Darkheart. We anticipated that he would have some hard questions and would want to have a thorough update. So we go in to brief him. And next thing I know, it's turning into a confrontation. He basically lets me know that he feels he's a MacArthur-type leader, and it's his job to make sure that all resources are used in his purview. And he felt that the Pakistanis should be pulling their weight, quote-unquote, and doing their job on their side of the border. And with that said, George, I tried to explain to him, it's like, well, you know, sir, there's pretty clear evidence that they're not completely on our side, so we really are obligated to do this ourselves.
Exactly.
His retort was, well, you might get caught. It's like, yeah, well, you know, George, as you and I both know, the U.S. Special Operations community has been doing a lot of things a lot of years, and they don't get caught most of the time, so it was very minimal. And then he said something extraordinary to him. He says, well, I'm sorry, I just don't buy it. I don't want you to do this, and I want you to turn all of your intelligence over to the Pakistanis, which I basically just – my jaw dropped. It's like I can't do that. We've used sensitive methods and sources to obtain this information. I can't do that. I mean, I
you're not going to give it away.
It's going to be compromised. I felt very strongly, and this is what we're arguing was the tipping point in the war. I mean, this confrontation is essentially. I've argued. I think there's factual evidence that I think pretty well supports it. This was the tipping point because this is where. From this point on, we backed away from a really strong anti-terrorism mission, at least for that period. And General Barno picked up, and this is where it's a bit disappointing, and it's actually been documented in other reports. He sent his staff out to go buy books on counterinsurgency. Go buy some books and study up on it. So that was the beginning of our new policy there. So, you know, speaking as a soldier, it's never good to be, you know, kind of reading from a book how to build a car as you're driving on the Indy 500. And that's essentially what they were doing here. And so this is where, you know, it kind of started to go downhill. The mission creep went from creep to rapid expansion, and this is where they decided to start. You know, we went from 10,000 troops to 20,000 troops. By, I think, 2005, we're at 40. And this continued expansion, I argue, is counterproductive, and it's not going to net us the victory I think we need. And I'll go into that more in a second. But to end one of the stories of the book is during this very time that I'm dealing with all this, Dr. Philip Zelikow, your listeners may remember from 9/11 mission, shows up, and a call goes out to everybody that Dr. Zelikow is there, and the staff is there, some of the staff of the 9/11 Commission, and they would like to know if anyone has any pre-9/11 intelligence information that may be useful to their investigation of the 9/11 attacks. So being a good soldier, I raise my hand and say, they've probably already heard of this. I mean, it's probably already in their domain, but just in case it's not, I know a little bit something about an operation called Able Danger. So I sought and obtained permission from the Army Chain of Command. This is key, George, to the story later on down the road. The Army Chain of Command there that, hey, I've got this information. Would you like me to present it to them? And the answer is yes. Go ahead and put together a one-page summary and brief them. And I can't come to find out later that my agency, who I'm a bit at odds with right now, is a Defense Intelligence Agency, didn't like the idea of me talking about that operation for some reasons of some mistakes they made during the pre-9/11 period.